Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
Welcome to this special weekend podcast we do for you every other weekend. We like to highlight some of the really great interviews we do on the radio show. It's not due to me, but great guests, and you deserve to hear from them. If you'd like to listen to the radio show live, go to Bongino.com any weekday. Click on Station Finder to find out where there's a station near you. But before that, let me tell you about our first sponsor. If you're having trouble staying asleep or getting asleep, it's time to embrace the importance of a restful slumber. That deep sleep really matters. Look at the connection of sleep between all these health ailments if you're not getting good sleep. Beams Dream Powder is a hot cocoa for sleep that could transform your nights. If you know me, you know Dream's been a game changer. I talk about it all the time. Today, my listeners get a special discount on Beams Dream Powder. It's a science-backed hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Tastes amazing. Other sleep aids cause that next day grogginess. It's no good. Dream contains a powerful, all-natural blend. And as I always say, please look it up yourself. Do your own homework. You'll find out this stuff is great. It works. Reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin are in it. It helps you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. That's why I'm so energetic today. Just mix Beam Dream into hot water or milk and enjoy before bedtime. The only mistake I made is last night I took it at about 7:30 and I fell asleep at 8:06 according to my ring. 8:06. If you want to try Beam's best-selling dream powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/Bongino. Use code Bongino at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/Bongino and use code Bongino for up to 40% off. First up is this interview with Lauren Boebert. She has been the victim of some real swampy nonsense going on with Ken Buck. If you don't know what's going down, she explains it to you here in this interview. Listen to what's happening. It's important. So last week I warned you that the swamp, or, you know, I love it. Mike Lee calls them the firm, the swamp, the blob, the firm, whatever you choose to call them, that they were hatching this plan and plot. And, you know, sadly, a lot of them are swampy Republicans to ice out MAGA candidates from winning. I think what they want is they have this pit in their stomach. I'm talking about the swampies, that Donald Trump could win this election. Matter of fact, he's in pretty good shape right now. And they're thinking, because they hate Trump, that, you know what, if we get a bunch of swampy Republicans in there on the House and Senate side, we can, quote, like, control Donald Trump, right? That's what's going on. So Congresswoman Lauren Boebert has been an ally to the movement. There's a massive plot to keep her basically out of Congress in this next term. She's agreed to come back and speak with us again with an update on the case. Congresswoman, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Dan, it is wonderful to be back with you.
It's great to have you here. So an update on the situation. I had said a couple weeks back that Ken Buck abruptly leaving Congress created this special election to fill his seat. I said, listen, I think they're going to put this primary on the same day as the special because Lauren Boebert's running in that district and they're going to try to ice her out. Do you have an update on that situation? Because it appears that's exactly what happened.
Well, Dan, you do such a great job explaining exactly what's going on. But people that have worked in politics for years don't even understand exactly what's going on with Ken Buck's vacancy and how he is intentionally trying to screw me over and potentially screw over President Trump, leaving millions of Americans without proper representation. And so I'll keep this as succinct as I can. This is a backroom uniparty scandal, and it is so corrupt that it makes Blagojevich trying to sell the Senate seat in Illinois look like amateur hour. Following President Trump's endorsement, which he made for me, it made clear that there is no path for any of my 9 or 10 opponents, whatever day of the week it is, and there's so many of them, to win. But Ken Buck and the Uniparty concocted a swampy backroom deal to try to rig an election that I'm winning by 25 points. And so this is forcing an unnecessary special election on the same day as the primary election in Colorado. And it is absolutely confused voters. And this will result in a lame duck congressman on day one and leave the 4th district with no representation for more than 3 months. And as you have accurately stated, I cannot run in this special election because I would have to pull a Ken Buck and resign and leave my constituents that I currently represent without representation for months and force them into a special election, costing the taxpayers even more dollars. But Ken Buckle falsely claims that he concocted this scheme and coordinated the vacancy date with Democrat Jared Polis to save taxpayer money. That's anything but true. County clerks have told me that forcing this special election is will cost an additional $900,000 at least. And if he cared about costs, he would have finished his term. But now right. he's going around town trashing me, and he's made clear that this was a coordinated attack to try to rig the election. But here's the point that you make. Ken Buck hates Trump. He hates conservatives. And anyone that admits that the 2020 election was stolen. Kent Seery is a billionaire and former CEO of DaVita, and Kent also hates Trump and conservatives. Kent Seery is trying to pass a ballot initiative this November to make Colorado a jungle primary state so conservatives can no longer win congressional races. Yes. And so, you know, one of my employees, you know, there's lots of different people who are sharing employees here with this, with Kent Seery's dirty money. But this is to undermine Colorado's current election, future elections, and President Trump's presidency.
We're talking to Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, who is an ally to the movement and therefore an enemy to the swamp. They are doing everything they can to keep her from this congressional seat she's running for. Congresswoman, as unfortunately you know better than anyone, Colorado has always been a blueprint template for the Democrats' national plans. As a matter of fact, they wrote an entire book about it. What they did in Colorado, turning it from a healthy red state to a blue state, maybe purple state, has been a template for the entire nation. You know, people like yourself are doing their best to turn it back. But I think what I find so offensive about what Ken Buck did is you work up there, and let's just talk turkey. Listen, I know that people up there can be a pain in the butt sometimes, but it's not a difficult job. I mean, there are people out there working for a living, Congresswoman. We got fighter pilots. We got construction workers, cops busting their asses. We got people. It's Congress. I mean, we appreciate what you do and all, but it's not like you're digging ditches. Why the hell couldn't Ken Buck just plant his ass in the seat and stay there till November? The only reason to do this was to sabotage Trump and you.
That's exactly right. It is the establishment, the uniparty versus MAGA, Donald Trump, and now Lauren Boebert. So now, as you've discussed on your show, Dan, Ken Buck is going around and he's going around town like a giddy schoolgirl saying, quote, "I think it's the next three people that leave Congress that you're going to be worried about." Now, does he know something that we don't? Are there three right. Republicans considering resigning and leaving us in the minority in the middle of our Congress? And for your listeners, ask yourself some questions here. Do enough Republicans hate President Trump in Washington, D.C. to go along with this scary plan and give House control over to the Democrats? Why is Ken Buck so confident about this? If Democrats get control of the House before the November election, will they do everything in their power to block President Trump from getting back into office? Does this include enabling legislation given the recent Colorado Supreme Court decision, like Jamie Raskin's has threatened? Why did Democrat Governor Jared Polis go along with Ken Buck's date and put out a statement even praising Ken Buck? Look at the Democrats' track record of trying to block President Trump. Two sham impeachments, Russiagate, made-for-TV January 6th committee, Fannie Willis, fake indictments around the country. And as you said, Dan, Ken Buck and several swampy Republicans have a three-point plan. Get Speaker Hakeem Jeffries in there as Speaker of the House. Throw out the Biden investigations and ice me out of my seat. And this is all just steps to ultimately block President Trump.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because folks, you know, Congresswoman Boebert, I do, she's a national figure, but what's happening to her in Colorado right now is not a Colorado issue. What she just laid out here in that 3-point plan is an actual plan. Ken Buck has actually said this, folks. You can look it up in his Newsweek interview, or was it Axios or whatever. Ken Buck, who's allegedly a Republican leaving in Colorado, said he knows of three other people that leave. You understand, if these three other people leave, Hakeem Jeffries is the Speaker of the House. This could, if Ken Buck isn't lying, this could actually happen. And Congresswoman, I just would like you to address this. I know you're busy. I'll let you roll after this. President Trump is going to need allies. We've seen what happened in the last 4 years when insiders attacked him. We got bogged down with this, you know, pee-pee hoax and all this other crap. He is going to need allies. We have a golden opportunity with this Senate map that we're not going to have for probably another decade. West Virginia, Montana, Ohio. But the House map is not that great. New York just redistricted. We could lose a seat or two. We lose your seat there to some rhino candidate, and it's a 1-2 seat House majority. President Trump doesn't have a lot of room to work right there.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I've been asked by many people, how can we help? And the most helpful thing for my election to keep this seat in Colorado is to go to laurenforfreedom.com and donate. We have to have massive education efforts on in our coffers here, as people are confused by two elections now being on the same day, thanks to Ken Buck's selfishness. So we're going to need even more resources than we thought to communicate with voters and make sure that they understand what is going on. President Trump has endorsed me. He knows that I am an ally of his and that he needs his A team ready to go on day one when he takes back the White House and he's back in office. He needs fighters by his side who are trusted allies. And I certainly am a trusted ally of the president. I'm honored to have his endorsement. And now we need to make sure that we have the resources to educate Colorado voters on what is going on, because it is going to be a mess come June 25th. On the day of the primary and the special election. And furthermore, Dan, we need to prove even now to the American people that Republicans can govern. We need to prove that we deserve a majority and that we will have a strong majority ready to go when President Trump is reelected.
Congressman, one last question. I know I said it was loud, but this will be quick, I promise. Colorado is not been a favorable state for Republicans over the last few presidential cycles. We just haven't done a great job there. It's shameful. The state is once a reliable Republican vote, and the Democrats just tactically beat us there. President Trump seems to be changing the trajectory of very specific states that could be in play, Virginia, New Jersey. Do you think Colorado is one of them in the presidential cycle in 2024?
Dan, between my current district and the district that I'm running for, that's 80% of the landmass in Colorado. And I am with voters every single day that I am in the state. And I believe that Colorado is in play for President Trump. Coloradans are furious that Democrats removed him from our primary ballot. They were rejoicing at the Supreme Court decision. And now they want the Secretary of State recalled because she adamantly opposed the 9-0 decision with the Supreme Court ruling. And I believe that Colorado is absolutely in play. People are tired of Democrats stealing their votes, meddling in elections. They're tired of universal mail-in ballots. They want voter identification. They want voter integrity to return to our state. And they see the Democrat policies and how they have destroyed Colorado and how that is infiltrating all throughout America. I believe that Colorado was a petri dish for the Democrats, and they said to themselves, if we can enact these policies in Colorado, we can do it anywhere. So I am still fighting for Colorado. I believe that it's in play for President Trump, and I greatly appreciate all the support that's coming into Colorado. We have a country to save, and I wake up every day prepared to take on that mission.
Congresswoman, what's your website again?
laurenforfreedom.com.
Congresswoman Lauren Boebert, thanks for fighting a good fight. We appreciate it. And as always, you're welcome back anytime. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Folks, wouldn't Jim, I was just thinking of something as Congresswoman Boebert was talking. Wouldn't that be the greatest kick in the collective Democrat nads of all time? If they try to remove Trump from the ballot and he turns around and wins Colorado. Colorado, please. Listen, I don't know how long I have on this earth. I'm not sick. I was going to say, don't tell my mom, but unfortunately, my mom called me last time. Ugh. She was like, Daniel, don't say that. I'm not sick. But I don't know how long I have on planet Earth. You would make my life, my life. I may have 20 years. I may have, I don't know. It would be the greatest moment of my life if Colorado goes for Trump after your crazy Secretary of State tries to kick him off the ballot. That would be the good. I would, Jim, would it not? Jim, take a note. So we don't forget to discuss this the day after. If he wins Colorado, I think I may make that a half an hour segment on my show. Just put it in your calendar app or whatever for the day after. Pay attention to Colorado. That would be hilarious. They try to kick him off the ballot and he turns the state red. It'd be the greatest triple barrel middle finger ever. Up next, a real-time reaction to breaking news on my show where sometimes stuff happens and then I happen. But let's talk about our next sponsor. Hey, financial experts thought we were in the clear. They were anticipating around 6 rate cuts by the Fed this year, and then the inflation data came out higher than expected. Listen, inflation's not going away. It can't. The U.S. is $34 trillion in the hole, and we keep printing money. It's pushing the prices up every single day. You can either bury your head in the sand or do something about it. Diversify a portion of your savings into gold with Birch Gold Group. Gold is your hedge against inflation, and Birch Gold makes it super easy to own. I've been a customer of theirs for a while. They help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and you don't pay a penny out of pocket. Gold is a part of my savings strategy. I buy from Birch Gold. You can too. Text Dan to 989898. Get your free information kit on gold. Then talk to a precious metal specialist on how to protect your savings from persistent inflation with gold. Text Dan to 989898 now. Performance may vary. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision. Message and data rates apply. The CEO of Boeing resigned because of problems at Boeing. Why doesn't government do that? Did you ever notice nobody resigns out of incompetence? They always resign. They say it's for some family reason or something. It's usually to take a better job. What a scam. You got to hear this. So it broke today that the Boeing CEO, Dave Calhoun, is going to step down after all the incidents with Boeing. Why are we talking about Boeing? We're not. I'm just watching this. The story just cracked across the Chiron at Fox, which I have on in the background. And I thought to myself, this isn't a story about Boeing. It isn't? No, it isn't. Boeing had some catastrophic failures, and the guy who runs the company was held responsible by the company, and they said, sorry, time to make changes. When does that happen in government? When does that ever? So Swampies and Democrats, by the way, both parties, the uniparty has unquestionably screwed the country up, okay? There are good Republicans out there. There are very few good Democrats, but there are a lot of swampy ones too. You ever... Is there ever any accountability in government? Like, you notice they've been whining about the same problems for 50 years, but no one gets fired. The Boeing CEO, like, yeah, you're out of here. This is a publicly traded company. I own stock in the company. You suck. You need to go. And he's got to step aside. The guy could have done the greatest things ever. A bolt's missing. It's probably not his fault directly. Doesn't matter. He's in charge. Someone's got to go. Buck stops with him. Do you ever notice this never happens in government at all? No matter what these numbnuts do, nobody ever gets fired. The media too. It doesn't matter how many bull stories you tell. There's a PP tape. Trump colluded with the Russians. Hunter's laptop was from Russia or whatever. The hallmarks of Russian intelligence. It doesn't matter how many times politicians and the media get things wrong. It doesn't matter. Nothing happens. Zero. And yet, in one of the greatest acts of cosmic irony, the same people never held responsible for anything. The media and government condemn the one space in our society where people are held accountable immediately, capitalism. Boeing's like, get this guy out of here. This guy, I don't know. I never met Dave Calhoun in my life. He could have been the greatest CEO ever. I have no idea. All I know is some problems happened. Some bolts are missing. People are put in danger. And they're like, you're out. Goodbye. Capitalism sucks. No, you suck in government and media. You suck. You just don't like capitalism because there's actually accountability mechanisms for capitalism when it sucks. Because you know what? There are times capitalism does produce sucky stuff. New Coke, Pet Rocks, whatever. There was people, but they didn't like it. And you know what? People got canned or they discontinued the product. Pet Rocks were actually pretty cool, by the marketing guy was a genius. I love that guy. I wish I could hire him for the podcast in a second. What a genius. Here's a rock. It's your pet. Yeah, I can get one from my yard. No, this one's special. Why? Because we put it in a box and called it a pet rock. But I'm sorry I get off track here, but the segment's coming to us about the media, and I'm thinking about this in the break. The media hates capitalism because they'd actually be held accountable if the media was run like a capitalistic organization where merit mattered. You get people in the media space. Jim, if I'm missing anyone, tell me. You got Adam Goldman, Ken Delanian, Natasha Bertrand, Philip Bump, Glenn Kessler, Brian Stelter, Moscow Rachel Maddow, Chuck Todd. You've got this Justice League of losers. They're like the anti-Justice League. It's like the imbecile league. And nothing, they get promotions. I think outside of Stelter. They are not, really? No, actually, I shouldn't even say Stelter. Isn't Stelter at Harvard? Is he at Harvard now? Mike, look that up. So there's zero accountability in this space. Now you see why they hate capitalism. Because they'd actually be accountable for sucking. And nobody sucks more than politicians in the media. You understand the level of suck we're talking about? Is he at Harvard? Jim's shaking his head. Imagine that. Imagine being Brian Stelter doing hits in like your underwear on TV and then taking a picture of it. While you sit there and groan on and on about how Mark Levin's a conspiracy theorist because of a FISA. Levin's proven right. You never apologize. And yet you go to teach at Harvard. Then you're the government. Now, I'm only alive 49 years and I've only been a sentient being for 44 of them. Since I'm a kid, Democrats in the government have been, we got a healthcare crisis, a border crisis. We've got an education crisis. We've got a tax crisis, a growth crisis. You've been whining and moaning and peeing in your diapers for 50 years. 50 years, bro. What the hell have you done? Has it ever occurred to you that you just suck? That your entire model of governing sucks so bad that you're actually admitting your own incompetence? Can you imagine the Boeing CEO? This guy now is out. I just saw it. This guy's just the assembly line problems or whatever. I have no idea. I don't manufacture planes for a living. But I'm telling you, the likelihood that the CEO missed the bolt, he wasn't there, but he's got to go. Why? Because capitalism demands it. Because it's ruthless. Because it's ruthless in the most moral way possible. The difference is politics is ruthless in the most immoral way possible. Think about it. You benefit from complaining about problems you never solve. Well, think about just the Biden administration the last 3 years. The border's broken. You going to fix it, loser? Or are you just going to keep talking about it? You know you are the president, right? It wasn't broken under Trump. We have the numbers, but it's broken now. So the border's broken. The Republicans have it. We have a broken border. Are you going to fix it or are you just going to keep whining? And the media is just obscene. I'm going to play these in reverse, Jim. We need sir. We need sir. I need the original sir. This was an actual interview with one of the dumbest human beings on this rock we call Earth. Not just in the media, Leslie Stahl. How Leslie Stahl is employed by anyone in the media space? I would not hire her to write a blog about broken fire extinguishers. But Leslie Stahl somehow has a job at 60 Minutes, despite getting the biggest political scandal story of our time, not only wrong, but getting it wrong on camera. This is her interviewing President Trump about Spygate. President Trump was spied on. None of this is in dispute. We have an IG report about it. We have FISA warrants about it. We have an FBI employee that was convicted in a court of law related to it. We have the name of the spy. We have the name of the other spy. I wrote books about it. Here's Leslie Stahl on camera with the biggest scandal of our time, telling President Trump, number one, that what he's saying is fake, even though it's true, and then claiming hilariously that even though they're the vaunted 60 Minutes, that they have no ability to verify this at all. And she amazingly still has a job, apparently unlike the Boeing CEO. Check this out.
So the biggest scandal was when they spied on my campaign. They spied on my campaign.
There's real evidence of that.
Of course there is. No. It's all over the place. Leslie,
sir,
they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
Can I say something? You know, this is 60 Minutes, and we can't put on things we can't verify.
You won't put it on because it's bad for Biden.
We can't things we can't verify.
Leslie, they spied on my campaign.
Well, we can't verify
It's been totally verified.
No.
It's been, just go down and get the papers. They spied on my campaign. They got caught.
No.
And then they went much further than that, and they got caught. And you will see that, Leslie. And you know that, but you just don't want to put it on the air.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know that.
This is... Dan, it's not funny. It's not. If I don't laugh, I'll start crying on the air, and I'm all cried out. Who sang that? Was that Lisa, New York? I'm all crying. I don't even remember. You had to be like a freestyle fan in New York in the 90s. I can't. I don't have no more tears left. I'm out of moisture. I'm like Dune. When the guy spits on the ground, that's how they share their moisture. It's like a sign of respect. It's respect. How does this lady have a job? How does this imbecile have a job? We're 60 Minutes. We're supposed to be a news organization, and you can't verify that there was a FISA warrant on members of Donald Trump's team? You're incapable of doing that? Jim's laughing, like, because you're laughing because you know I'm right. You're 60 Minutes. You're incapable of, and you're so sure, by the way. You're so sure your alternate universe is correct. You on camera tell the President of the United States, who, by the way, has access to information you don't. Sir! This didn't happen, sir! Sir!
Sir!
Sir! That happens!
Sir.
As she wets her Depends undergarments? Really? This idiot still has a job? Why am I talking about this now? Because I almost had a heart attack last night. I watched 60 Minutes. Why? Only because it's a life test for me. Sometimes it's like a stress test. I want to make sure we're not in a simulation and my adrenal glands still work. It's the only liberal show I religiously watch because the stupid on 60 Minutes is exponentially greater because they have a week to prepare than it is anywhere else. I know, I watch it so you don't have to. I'm watching it last night. I even turned off the NCAA tournament to watch. This is how crazy I am. I was actually enjoying the Clemson game. Clemson-Baylor, they're playing. My friend loves Clemson. My friend Brian Chisholm, who's a delegate in Maryland. Big shout out. He had a good night. Loves his Clemson team there. He has it all over the wall in his house. I turn off the game to watch this idiot on 60 Minutes. And I'm like, Paula, you got to get in here and sit down. Sir, Leslie Stahl. No, she hasn't been knighted. This is like the reverse. This is like being unknighted. She's like, this is like the idiot, sir. Sir Leslie Stahl. That's her new name. Sir Leslie runs a report on misinformation. Jim, I swear to you, brother, on my life, I'm like, this is not happening. Sir Leslie Stahl? But 60 Minutes producers told Sir Leslie Stahl to run a segment on misinformation? You ever see that? Was it Beavis and Butthead or something? Kick me in the gym. You ever see that? This is like, they're no cup. They're kicking you right in the nuts. Like they 60 Minutes is laughing at you. The dumbest woman on the network who's on video, I just played for you, and audio, being humiliated on her own show, disputing a scandal that unquestionably happened while claiming they're too stupid to figure out it happened, ran a segment on misinformation and lying in the media. If I was angry, you're going to get angry too. If you tune out right now, I totally understand. But here's about 20 seconds of it. Just for hilarity, just so you can get a good laugh on a Monday. Here's the Sir Leslie Stahl segment on misinformation in the media from the queen of misinformation, Leslie Stahl. Listen to this.
The danger is disinformation could decide the elections in a number of different countries.
In the U.S., he says, the right wing has been flooding the internet with reams of misleading information in order to confuse the public. And he's alarmed by the campaign to silence the academic researchers who have had to spend money and time on demands from Jim Jordan's Judiciary Committee.
This is epic. The right wing has been spreading misinformation, and the left has had to spend money and time. Do you understand Donald Trump is in court today? Disputing a $454 million fine for a crime that never happened on a fraud case with no fraud to pay a victim that doesn't exist. And you're Sir Leslie Stahl on video and audio disputing the biggest political scandal of our time, despite a documented paper trail that it actually happened. And you do want to report, folks, this was no cup. No, they said it. Cups off. Line them up, kick everyone in the nuts right here. That's what 60 Minutes, that's what they did. Lined up every conservative. They're like this, boom, 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 boom. They're mocking you now. And they're mocking you because we're winning and we're beating them at their own game. We are. Leslie Stahl hates it. I know you do. You listening, Leslie? Sir Leslie, you listening? How does it make you feel? You become a soundbite on our show. We love it. Up next is a great interview with Jesse Waters. You're going to like this one. But first, our next sponsor.
With cyber attacks on the rise, protecting your data security is more important than ever. So why is Congress considering a law that puts your data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill shifts billions in consumer spending to less secure payment networks, all so that corporate megastores can make bigger profits. Don't let Durbin-Marshall steal your data. Visit handsoffmyrewards.com/security and tell your senators to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Jesse interviewed a lot of people on the liberal fringe and wrote a book about it called Get It Together. We had a good time together in this interview. Check it out. So it's been a while since we spoke to this guy. He's got a new book out. You know him. You see him on Fox every night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. The host of Jesse Waters Primetime, Jesse Waters. Jesse, welcome back to the show. Good to talk to you, brother.
Bongino, it's great to be back. Thanks, man.
I'm a little mad at you, though, man. I go up to this bookstore in Northvale, New Jersey, to do a signing not that long ago. And I asked the guy, because we had such a great crowd. I was so impressed. I'm washing my hands in the bathroom as I'm looking at myself in the mirror, kind of like Sylvester Stallone's looking in the mirror and Rocky and Virginia. He's like kind of questioning. I'm like, this is great. I kicked ass. I said, has there ever been a bigger crowd? He said, there has. Jesse Waters. I said, I hate him. It was just like a Doc Holliday moment, huh? But I hate him. I was very envious. So you got a new book out.
Dan, I have the same problem, okay? I did about 700 books the other day in Northville, New Jersey. I said, I mean, have you ever seen a crowd like this? He looks at me and he goes, John Stamos.
Yes, that is right. He told me the same thing. He said John Stamos had 1,000. Did he tell you that?
He had over 1,000, and he goes, and mostly it wasn't signing. People just wanted their picture taken.
Holy Moses,
women, right?
That is the exact same store. That's exactly what he told me, that apparently the books went out pre-signed. So I said, well, what's the point of the book signing? Oh, no, they just wanted selfies. I said, man, I got to do that. What a great gig. So you got this book out. It's called Get It Together, rocking up the top of the charts. Now, you and I, when we were over at Fox, man, we chat a lot. And you used to joke around how you were like an anthropologist working at Bill's show and on your own show where you're out in the field interviewing liberals. And I've heard you talk about this book. Is this kind of like a compilation of all the lessons you've learned in your decorated anthropology career studying these people?
You would never be able to write this. You want to know why, Dan? Because you don't suffer fools.
No, I have no interviewing skills at all. Zero. No, you're correct.
You don't have the patience to listen to a statue toppler for 3 hours tell you his life story, or someone that wants to empty the prisons or open the borders. And that's what I did. I had about 24 people on the fringe pour their hearts out to me, tell me their entire life history and why they believe what they believe, why they want to legalize drugs, why they want to defund the police. And at the end of this, you realize these people don't have a rational ideology. They have personality disorders. These people have deep mental problems. And what they're doing is they're projecting the problems on the rest of us. They're saying, I don't have any problems. Society is the problem. And we just need to get society to accommodate my issues. But Dan, you know that's not working. So we just have to tell these people to get it together and knock it off. No, because we don't use that word anymore. We need to just say no.
You know, that's interesting, Jesse. We're talking to Jesse Waters, has a new book out called Get It Together. You know, this is the perfect segment. We've been on for 2 hours and we've been discussing how the NBC situation, how this your truth and my truth nonsense. There's no your truth and my truth. There's just truth. I mean, math is math because there's an end game. There's an output that comes from inputs. But with the left, what you're saying is scary. And I agree with you, is that they have this kind of rage directed at themselves because they're divorced completely from reason. I mean, when you're talking right to the statue toppler you interviewed for your book, you probably said to her, like, you know, something like, okay, so there are people in the past who've made historical mistakes. You mean like people right now? So like, what? I don't understand. Like, what's your barometer for success then? No mistakes? No, I don't get it. It's not even reasonable.
So this guy obviously had a traumatic upbringing, reservation, alcoholism, or the other woman that was marching with Black Lives Matter, wealthy lady, had daddy issues. Or this other person that ended up being in the sex industry, it was a revenge fantasy. A lot of these people just have emotional problems, and they're making their problems our problems. And none of this is rational at all. So that's why you got to get these people early. Once they're in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, goodbye. You can't debate these people. You can't reason with these people. They have rage. They have sociopathic problems. You got to get them while they're young. And what I found out, Dan, is that most of these people had no dads. They had alcohol abuse in the family. They had sexual abuse. But a lot of them had no dads or barstool dads or neglectful dads. And if you don't have a father, you don't have discipline, you don't have boundaries, you're then lashing out and you're looking for boundaries throughout your adulthood. Yeah. You're angry. And this is, we're dealing with a problematic generation that is destroying this country because they have emotional issues, and we can't tolerate that. We can't accommodate their problems.
So Jesse Waters has a new book out called Get It Together. Pick it up today. Jesse, were there any breakthroughs? I mean, as you're talking to these liberals, obviously divorced from reality and divorced from reason is more important. Were there any breakthroughs where as you're in this kind of sit down back and forth, they're like, oh, OK, maybe that makes sense. And did you see any kind of eyes open? And from your laughter, I can guess the answer is no.
Well, I mean, some of you have epiphanies in some of these, and not all of them are these deadly serious things. We interviewed a woman who's an ecosexual. And Dan, I know you don't know what that means, but this is a woman who gets physically aroused when she engages in Mother Nature, when she buries herself in the sand at the beach, or when someone beats her with a tree branch. And I said, well, does that make you a lesbian since you're in a relationship with Mother Earth? And she goes, I don't see Mother Earth as a mother. I see Mother Earth as a lover. So these are the kind of people, and it's, you know, it's funny, but, you know, when they start kind of intruding on normal society, that's when it becomes an issue. For instance, we interviewed a woman who has an emotional support squirrel. She decides she wants to bring the emotional support squirrel on an airplane to go from Florida to Ohio. Now, if you're sitting next to someone in coach, which I know you don't do anymore, Dan, but say you're in coach, and this woman has a squirrel on her lap, and it's an emotional support squirrel. I mean,
I'm out of there.
By U.S. Marshals, and she couldn't realize why this was unacceptable. So, you know, you have funny stories like that. And some of these stories are just hilarious. They'll make you laugh, but some of this stuff makes you cry, too. Get it together. Get the book right now. You're going to love it, Bongino.
Do you remember when you just reminded me of a story? You had filmed the road show down here in Florida at my friend's studio one time. Do you remember you were interviewing the squirrel guy or the and the guy didn't want to put the squirrel on camera? My buddy was there. He was so like, mad. They were like, I know. They were like, Jesse was like, this is the whole point. Where's the squirrel, bro? Like, we're not here for you.
I never lose my pay. I never lose it. But I was screaming. I was like, do it live. You know, I was so angry.
We'll do it live. If you know, you know, folks. Right. We'll do it live. Right. That's hilarious.
I melted down.
Oh, my buddy was like, he was great. He's like, dude, we love you, but where's the darn squirrel? Like, we're not really here for you. We're here for the squirrel. We're talking to Jesse Waters. He has a new book out called Get It Together. Pick it up today. Jesse, I know you're busy. I'll let you run, but I can't let you go without asking your opinion on this NBC thing. I mean, you and I were at Fox. You were there a lot longer than me. Still there, obviously, host the APM show. You know, one thing about Fox is on any given day, you could be sitting in the green room because you host multiple shows, but when you're a host there, you could be guest hosting. You could be in a guest segment. You know how it is. On any given day, you could be in the green room for 8 hours. And in the green room will be anyone from Barstool Sports to Marie Harf. And everybody just kind of does their thing and they chat. You know what I'm saying? I'm not making it up. And there's nobody's fist fighting in there. And I think the reason The Five, another one of your shows, is so entertaining is you and Jessica or Harold and the judge, whatever, you'll go at it on any given day and you don't know what's going to happen. But these networks like NBC are so weak and pathetic and predictable that even a mainstream moderate Republican like Ronna McDaniel, they can't even have her on the set. I mean, that's an embarrassing joke.
Well, when Fox hired you, I went on my show and I revolted. I said, I will not.
I saw that. I know. I called my lawyer immediately. I was like, I can't believe it.
I mean, you'd look at it as an opportunity, right? Like, let's say we hire someone that believed in the Russia hoax, right? And you'd book them on the show and you'd debate them.
I had a segment on my Saturday show. The debate segment, we had to remember, right? Hawk Newsom, the BLM guy, was on there. We had Obama people on there. The best part of the show was listening to these liberal idiots say liberal idiot stuff. Is it not?
Right. And that's what you want on television. You want drama, you want a debate, you want a little confrontation, and you do want to hear from both sides. And you can hash it out. You know, Jessica, or whether it was Geraldo or Juan, we cut each other down and we call each other idiots, but then we go to commercial break and it's fine. And that's right. What it should be, right? Like these, but what NBC is doing, what they've done for the last 6 years is any MAGA Republican they have designated as an enemy of the state, as an insurrectionist, as someone that needs to be censored, deplatformed, prosecuted, not someone they're going to invite into polite society. And then suddenly the NBC brass, maybe they don't watch their own network, didn't get the memo that these people were supposed to be banished, hired a MAGA Republican. And they revolted, and, you know, the inmates are running the asylum over there. It was a colossal embarrassment. But that's what they're socially stigmatizing anyone associated with Donald Trump. And when he gets reelected, and we think he will, anybody who works for him in any capacity, they're not going to get book deals or they're not going to get invited to be contributors at these places. This is how sick they are. This is how deranged they are. This is how they feel about their fellow Americans. They fight MAGA Republicans harder than ISIS.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It really is. I mean, there's no one better to comment on it. Like I said, you have a Democrat panelist on The Five every single day. It's really sad that they can't defend their ideas. The new book, folks, by Jesse Waters is called Get It Together. It's rocketing up the charts. Pick it up today. Jesse, thanks a lot for coming on. You're welcome back anytime. Good luck with the book.
Thanks so much. Miss you, buddy.
Yeah, miss you too, brother. Thanks for coming on. Jesse Waters, folks, Get It Together is the book. He was always a good man to me. I always appreciate that. But what I said to him there, I absolutely mean. You'd sit in a green room. It's a professional work environment. You will believe me, there were a lot of political conversations in the green room. I had a ton of political conversations with Donna Brazile and everyone else. We talk about everything from she was a big fan, I think, of gumbo, and she'd always have some recipe for it. But then 5 seconds later, we go into how terrible Al Gore was. But then, you know, you take it on the air and you debate it on the air. It's the best part about political TV. Imagine an entire show where everybody's like, yep, you're right. No, you're right. No, you're righter. No, you're righter than that guy. No, you're definitely right. What the hell's the point of that? The best part of the show is the debates. I mean, my entire early reputation on Fox was fighting with Geraldo on Hannity. I love that. What cowards on the left, right? Chumps. Losers. Complete zeros. You can't have someone with an alternate viewpoint on your show because you're so afraid. Pathetic. You really are. What a joke. Up next is our next guest, but let's get to our next sponsor first. Have you ever wondered what happened to legendary Chuck Norris, the action movie star, world champion, black belt, and U.S. veteran? Well, I recently saw a video he made, and I was shocked. He's in his 80s, and he's still kicking butt, working out, staying active, and feeling like he's really in his 50s. What's even more shocking is he's stronger, can work out longer, and has plenty of energy left over that keeps him sharp and focused. Chuck Norris is able to do all of this because he made one simple choice that makes him and his family feel great. He uses Morning Kick, a refreshing drink designed to help nourish your body, help support gut wellness, boost energy, and feel youthful. Chuck Norris made a special short video that explains everything easily to you. Make sure you watch it today by going to chuckdefense.com/Bongino. It'll change the way you think about your wellness. That's chuckdefense.com/Bongino or text Bongino to 511-511. You won't believe how simple it is. Prepare to be amazed. Message and data rates apply. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Abigail Schreier wrote an amazing book about how our children are getting screwed over by terrible habits we're getting into with them. We're creating a bunch of victims. It's called bad therapy. You got to hear this important conversation, especially if you're a parent. Listen to this. So there's a book out there that's been tearing up the charts, and it's because it addresses a topic that we all care about, which is our kids. Matter of fact, is there a single topic you care about more? I'd venture to answer that question myself. No. We don't. There's nothing I care about more than my kids. But we do have a mental health crisis with our kids right now going on, depression levels. And it's a topic I'm interested in. You know my rule, if you're citing your education, you're probably a moron. But I did spend quite a few years of my life studying in this space, and it does fascinate me. I want to welcome to the show the author of the book. It's becoming a mega bestseller here, Bad Therapy, Abigail Schreier. Thank you and welcome to the show. Thank you for writing this book. It's a topic I think we all need to be concerned about.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Dan. It's a great honor to meet you and talk to you.
Oh, you as well. So this book has been tearing it up. I'm on social media, Abigail, all day. It's my job to see what's going on and follow the trends. And a lot of people I follow were writing about your book. And one of the premises of the book here is that this model we have now of the helicopter parent, don't let your kids scrape the knees, don't let your kid go anywhere without 6 inches of padding and 22 helmets on, that this may actually be causing some problems rather than solving it. Do I generally have the 8-second elevator pitch down?
That's exactly right. Basically, it's called bad therapy, why the kids aren't growing up. And the two things are related. These kids are awash in diagnosis they don't need, therapy they don't need, therapeutic parenting, constantly feelings focused, constantly accommodating their bad feelings. And unfortunately, it's led to a generation that is exhibiting the known harms of too much therapy, and the known harms include things like greater anxiety, greater depression, greater feelings of inefficacy. We've got a generation that doesn't think it can do for itself. It doesn't feel resilient, and unfortunately, it isn't resilient right now. We need to turn that around.
Talking to Abigail Schreier, author of the book Bad Therapy. Abigail, is there, are we inadvertently, because, I don't think parents would do this deliberately. I mean, unless they were, I'm sure there are some awful parents that just might, some kind of Munchausen by proxy, but I'm talking about your regular average parent that probably thinks they're doing the right thing, but aren't. Are we actually teaching these kids to be victims by over-medicating them, over-counseling them, and not letting them prod around the world themselves? I mean, I'm not suggesting we should allow them, to stick a butter knife in an electric socket, but we can't protect them from every fall on a two-wheeler when they want to get on a bike. And I think we're teaching them to be victims, and we've kind of almost created this snowflake generation.
That's right. We did that. And it wasn't on purpose, but I think it did happen. Remember, we used to hear things like shake it off, knock it off, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones. That all had a lot of wisdom to it. And in fact, what we're doing is the opposite. We're teaching kids that anything, any little harm could be trauma, that elementary kids, if they got picked on or they got teased a little bit, have PTSD. It's not true. It was never true, but it's doing them real harm. We have a generation, less than half of the rising generation, will say that its mental health is good. They have talked themselves into mental illness, essentially, and we have participated in that by always catering to their feelings and obsessing about their feelings. And these generation thinks their feelings is the most important thing, and they're never able to ignore their feelings, and that's a real problem.
I wanted to ask you this question as well, because one of the things that's fascinated me about this over-counseling and creation of this victim culture with our kids is also the over-medicating of kids. Abigail, some of these drugs out there right now, whether they were the Ritalins or Adderalls, a lot of these drugs are stimulant-type drugs. These are serious drugs. I know adults who have taken them, you know, for various reasons. I know people who've taken them recreationally and done all kinds of things. These are serious compounds. I mean, these are the kinds of things where an adult fully formed brain, if you've taken some of these things for the first time, you're like, you can't sleep. Sometimes it's almost hard to focus, even though they're supposed to make you focus because they're so powerful. And yet we're delivering these things to kids like Tic Tacs and Rolos or something like that, with no concept of what the long-term damage might be from that.
That's right. And unfortunately, you know, the thing that's changed the most is dads. Dads used to be allowed to exercise some break on the psychopathology of, you know, psychopathologization of boys, especially, but all kids. They operated as a little bit of a break on mom, and they would say, he's fine, he can keep playing. But now, unfortunately, dads have been convinced that they don't know enough about their kids' brains. They don't know enough about trauma. It isn't true. It was never true. But now they're not able to say, he's fine. He doesn't have ADHD. Okay? He doesn't have oppositional defiance disorder. He just needs to be told no.
Yeah. That no is a powerful word. We're talking to Abigail Schreier, author of the book Bad Therapy. Highly, highly recommended. You said something there I really want to focus on, because it's the kind of thing that elicits a really incredible response, and I mean that in a qualitatively bad way, from the left. I was doing some testimony up on Capitol Hill one time about police issues, Abigail, and I brought up the dad in the home question, how the correlation is ironclad between the growing prevalence of fathers missing from the home and, you know, sociopathic criminal type behavior, that there's got to be some tie there. The correlation is so strong, it can't be ignored. And Abigail, this guy on the panel who was a leftist who shall remain nameless, absolutely lost his mind. They can go back and you can check it out now. That's probably still in some C-SPAN library. They lose their minds. It's like they want to blame governing systems and say, oh, if we just implemented this new form of bigger government, we could fix these problems. Yet they ignore the obvious thing you just said, that a father loves a child differently than a mother. Not better, not worse. It's different. I have two daughters. One daughter I had, Abigail, she loved when I threw her up in the air. She loved it. I throw up in the air like 4 or 5 feet and catch her. Daddy catches you. My other daughter hated it. The first time I did it, she cried, so I never did it again. You know, you roughhouse with them. You teach them that forms of, say, physical behavior are not necessarily, there are limits and boundaries. But dads love their kids different. When you remove the dad from the home, I could make the case to you, and probably you make a better case to me, this is the genesis of a lot of this malicious behavior we see in our streets right now.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, that when fathers threw their kids up in the air, they were beta testing them. They were saying, don't worry, I'll catch you. I know you're going to be a little scared, but we're going to learn to face your fear. And that was a huge thing for kids. And now dads are told, you have to do everything the way the parenting expert says, and it's the way mom says, and the parenting expert is a therapist, and the children are much more fragile than you realize, and you are causing trauma. It's not true. It was never true. But here's the problem. We're giving kids unhealthy lives where they're constantly monitored, where there isn't a dad around, where there is no belief that they are strong and they can go off and do things by themselves without being monitored. We give them this unhealthy life. We don't punish. We never tell them no. And then when they act out, we pour in mental health resources, expecting that to cure an unhealthy life. It's not going to cure it. It only makes it worse. These kids need family around. They need cousins, siblings, grandma and grandpa. They need to be told what grandma and grandpa went through, what the family went through, the hard times. They need to know they can get through it too.
Abigail, last question, and I'll let you go, folks. Check the book out by Abigail Schreier. It's Bad Therapy. You know, how do you talk when you talk to parents about this? I'm sure the reason this book has become so popular is because you speak to something we all care about, obviously our kids. But the concerns some of them have, me included, are not illegitimate. I want to watch my kid when she goes out jogging down the street because we see these stories. I mean, they're rare, but they do happen. You know, a woman kidnapped jogging. You're like, oh, my gosh, not going to be my kid. But we quietly know that your book is right, that you're probably incentivizing victim type behavior if you're going to just helicopter parent, not let your kids explore the world on their own. So what do you say to parents who are trying to balance that? Like, hey, I'd love my kid to go out on the bike, but, you know, 3 weeks ago in whatever, Tuscaloosa, some kid got kidnapped. I mean, how do we balance that?
Parents need to get a handle on their own anxiety. If you could handle something, your kid can too. And if you don't develop their musculature to handle things that are normal parts of life, like walking to the store by themselves at a certain age or walking home from school, they will never learn to navigate those things. You have to make, we spend way too much time worrying about, is my kid happy? And way too little time worrying about, am I making my kid strong?
Such a good point. I played audio of Jensen Huang, the CEO of NVIDIA, talking the other day about the value of suffering. How
that was,
you
know, amazing.
It was incredible how resilience is only built through suffering. The book is called Bad Therapy. It has been tearing up the charts for now a couple of weeks. Abigail, it was such a pleasure to have you on. We would love to have you back. I know you speak on other topics as well, so you're welcome anytime. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you. I would love to. Always. Really a pleasure. Thank you so much, Dan.
You got it. Folks, I'm not kidding. The book has been tearing it up. I follow social media all day. And I think it's because of that specific topic, that question I asked last, we all have. What do we do with our kids? The answer is I think she's right. We have to deal with our own anxiety around the issue. Right? We're more worried than they are. Watch them go down the street to the store. You don't have to let them know you watch. Give a little peek. Let them do their thing. You don't got to wave to them every 2 minutes. I mean, gosh, when I grew up, you know, my daughter jokes with me now. I know, Dad, you walk 3 miles to school to St. Pancras. Right? But I did. Resilience. Power of Suffering. Bad Therapy is the book. Thanks for listening to this special Sunday podcast. You want to check out my radio show, go to Bongino.com, click on Station Finder, and find out we're on near you, and join us every day at 11 a.m. on Rumble at rumble.com/Bongino for the daily podcast. See you next week.
You just heard Dan Bongino.